morning. Come on up.
All right. How is everyone? Good. It took me a while to get back, and I was actually scheduled. I think I was here in July, and was scheduled to come back shortly after that. But we had some stuff going on in my home church, and I couldn't leave at the time. So, but we're here now, and I had to come alone today. My youngest daughter is singing in the concert today at church, so I'm here alone, but it's all right. I'll be able to watch it on video, and she sings to me all the time anyway. I swear she knows every song on K-Love, so I just get in the car with her, and away she goes. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here. I love this. It feels like home. You know, there's just a certain dynamic you get from different churches, and when I was here last time, I could just sense and feel such a great dynamic here, and everyone was just so pleasing and so nice to be around, and it was great. So I thank you so much. Your hospitality is absolutely amazing. And it's just a testament to your faith in Christ and the way that you steward and give back to Him. So thank you. Today we're going to look at how Jesus ministered to different people. There's going to be two people that we're going to look at today that came from two totally different walks of life, and we're going to see how Jesus treated them and how He came along. Other words to describe it are next to, together with, in parallel, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and close to. So remember that alongside. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. And Lord, it is so amazing seeing just how generous and these people are here, Lord. Their hospitality is amazing, Lord, and I know that's just you shining through them. So today, Lord, I just ask that you will make yourself known and felt here today. Use me, Lord, to bring your word. Speak through me, Lord. I'm yours, just like everybody else here, Father. So make yourself known, and may we bring glory and honor to you, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, before we get started, you brought your Bible, hold it up. Come on now, hold them up. Oh, yeah. Good, very good. I love seeing that. Love seeing it. At home, when I preach, I always have everybody do that, and they always hold up their cell phones. You know? You can't do that here because you don't have any service. But, you know, it's just amazing. You know, it's just the feel of the Bible, you know, bringing your Bible, having the Bible in your hand, feeling the weight of it, being able to physically touch it, feel the paper, feel the ink, feel the leather, whatever it is, you know, for me, it just gets me closer to God. I feel just more in tune, just having that weight in my hand and the physical touch of the Bible. It's awesome. So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. And like I said, we're gonna look how Jesus treated a couple people. We're gonna dive right into it because it's quite a bit to go over. So before we go in to 8, I want to jump back to Matthew chapter 4, right at the ending of chapter 4, just to kind of get us on track of what Jesus was doing at the time. So the last paragraph of chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from east of the Jordan River. A little bit of chapter 5. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up onto a mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And then Jesus went in to give the Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to go through that, because that would take us weeks to go through. What we're going to look at is what happened shortly after Jesus was there giving that sermon that he gave. Now, I want us to realize and look at what was going on around Jesus. Jesus had large crowds around him almost at all times. It just said that when he noticed that the large crowd was gathering, he went up onto the mountain and he started teaching them. People always wanted to be around Jesus. They were always following him. Many of these people that were following Jesus were sick, and they wanted Jesus to heal him. Other people followed him because if they fell sick, Jesus would be right there and he could heal them. Other people followed Jesus because they were his disciples. They believed in him, and he asked them to follow. Yet other people followed Jesus because they wanted to trap him. They wanted to take him out. So as we look into this, we're going to see how Jesus handled certain situations in this. Now, before we get going, I want to tell a story of a conversation that I had at work about a month ago. It was right after we had that big storm. We'd worked, you know, 5-6 days, all day, all night. And so we finally got a day where we could be in the shop, get everything cleaned up, get everything put back together. And when you have a bunch of guys together, it quickly turns into guy talk. So a conversation started about a certain young lady in the community. And one of my coworkers piped up right at the beginning, right at the start. The first thing he said was, "Well, she's just a dirty," the other word for prostitute. And instantly that irritated me. When a man says something like that about a woman, I become a little bit angry. And I've always been that way. And so I looked at him and I said, "Well, how many men has she been with?" He didn't know. I said, "All right, how many women have you been with?" And he proudly gave me the number. And I said, "What does that make you?" And his face just kind of went flat like that. His eyes got big, and then he started rambling on, saying something, trying to make himself look better. And the conversation was over. So when I was driving home that night, I got to thinking about that. Thinking about how we label people dirty. And I was remembering what I said to him. I said, "Okay, what does that make you?" So then I was thinking, "Well, what does that make me? What does that make you? What does that make my wife? What does that make my mom? What does that make my brother? What does that make all of us?" In God's eyes, we're all dirty, right? If we haven't been saved by Jesus Christ, if his blood hasn't poured over us and cleaned us, we're all dirty. We could all be labeled dirty. But isn't it just human nature, I believe, that we are so quick to label someone? We're so quick to belittle them and put them down just to make ourselves look better and feel better. And what we forget is that we're all made in the image of God. Every single human being. And we also forget at times that Jesus died for all of us. Not just a select few. He died for all of us. And we all need him. No matter who we are, no matter what we are, no matter what people label us, we all need Jesus. And is it fair to throw accusations at someone who has committed the same sins that we have committed? Is it fair to label someone, to outcast them, and to single them out? No. Back in ancient Israel, and probably throughout the entire world back then, but I want to focus on Israel right now, they were also pretty good at singling people out. And clear back from the beginning. But I want to go from Moses and kind of on. So around the time of Moses, when God gave all the laws to Moses and he was writing them down, they were singling people out. There was one group of people that they singled out, and for a good reason. These people had leprosy. So what would happen is back then, if someone came down with a skin disease, if they came down with a rash or anything on their skin, they would go to the priest. And the priest also acted as an examiner, as a doctor. So the priest would examine the person, and if he found that they had leprosy, he would pronounce them ceremonially unclean. What that means is this person would not be allowed to worship corporately. He wasn't allowed to go to church. And then this person was quarantined. He had to go clear off by himself, live in isolation, and until he was cured, which the Bible only has one instance of anybody being cured of leprosy, this person would completely live in isolation and be labeled dirty, probably until the day they died. So I just want to jump back and give us a little bit of what the Bible says about leprosy. Leprosy was so feared back then and such a terrible disease that there's actually a couple chapters in the Bible that speak about it. And that's found in Leviticus 13 and 14. But I'm just going to read a verse for you just to give you an understanding of how bad leprosy was. Those who suffer from a skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" As long as a serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. So as we go back to what we're going to be going through today, like I said, I want to really take a look at how Jesus ministered to this man with leprosy. So in chapter 8, you can turn there. You probably already are. Thank you. Let's begin. Chapter 8. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Now I want to stop right there for just a second. So here's this guy with leprosy. He's supposed to be clear off in isolation, not be around other people. And if he is around other people, he's supposed to cover his mouth and he's supposed to start yelling out, "Unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, I'm dirty, don't come near me." But this guy, he came to Jesus. He fought his way through the crowd. Remember, Jesus had this large crowd around him, a couple hundred people, a couple thousand. I'm not sure. We know that it was a large crowd. So this guy fought his way through the crowd to get to Jesus. And what was the first thing that he did? He knelt before him. This guy knelt before Jesus. And the first word out of his mouth was "Lord," signifying that he knew who Jesus was. Signifying that he knew that Jesus had power over disease. He probably heard that Jesus was curing people. Maybe he'd even witnessed Jesus cure people from their illness and diseases. But this guy knew that Jesus was the Messiah. I totally, totally believe that this leper knew that. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He came to Jesus. He asked, and he believed. Verse 3. Then Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. So here's Jesus. He has this large crowd around him. He just got done giving the Sermon on the Mount. So everybody is wanting a piece of Jesus. They're all wanting to be near him. They're wanting to ask him questions. They're wanting to touch him. They're wanting healed. They're wanting some of what Jesus has. And Jesus, in all the hustle and the bustle of the crowd, stopped what he was doing and gave this man with leprosy his complete attention. And Jesus did what nobody else would ever have done. Jesus reached out and he touched this man. Everybody else was scared of him. Everybody else wouldn't even come close to this man with leprosy. But Jesus touched him. And then he said, "I am willing. Be healed." Jesus didn't say to this man, "Oh, get away from me. You're a dirty leper. Get back." No. He loved him. He showed compassion for the man. He healed him, and he came alongside him. When Jesus healed this man, he made the man capable of now being able to worship corporately. He made it possible for this man to once again go into the temple and worship God. He made it possible for him to go home and live a normal life with his family and friends. Jesus came alongside this man and healed him, loved him. And that's the example that you and I are supposed to live by. So isn't it pretty easy? Wouldn't you say that it's pretty easy to help a friend who's in need? Right? We do it all the time. And we feel pretty good about doing it. But what about helping somebody who we don't like? Somebody who has hurt us in the past, has really hurt us deeply in the past. Somebody who we might even consider an enemy. We don't want to be around them. What if that person came and asked you for help? Would you help them? So back in Jesus' day, the Israelites, they had a lot of enemies. Just like that video we were watching today, probably the biggest enemy at that time of Jesus were the Romans. But before that was the Egyptians and others and so on and so on. And then just from about the word go, the Israelites always had enemies. They were oppressed. They were enslaved. They were beaten. They were killed. And at this time, they were under the Roman dictatorship. Roman had full control of Israel and the Jews. The Romans were the world power. And the Romans didn't really like the Jews. And by now, they were starting to figure out that they didn't like Jesus. And they really didn't like his followers either. Because they were causing quite a stir in all the towns they were starting to go to. The relationship between the Jews and the Romans was not good. We know from history just how bad it was. The Romans were experts at killing. They killed hundreds, thousands of Jews. And they were really good at it. They crucified them. They fed Christians to the lions. They tied them to stakes, lit them on fire to light the garden paths of Nero. Their relationship was not good. But let's take a look at how Jesus treated one of those Romans. One of those Romans who quite possibly could have done damage to other Jews. In verse 5, "Then Jesus returned to Capernaum. A Roman officer came and pleaded with him, 'Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain.' Jesus said, 'I will come and heal him.' But the officer said, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. So I just kind of want to pause for a second and take a look at this Roman officer. I want to get a picture of what this guy was and who this guy was. So he was a centurion. That means that he was in charge of 100 men. He was probably in charge of 100 of some of the strongest, finest soldiers the Roman army had. And this guy, this officer, he was highly trained. More than likely, he was in the military from when he was a boy. He was trained to kill. He was trained to lead. He was trained to take orders, to give orders. This guy was trained to get the job done no matter what the cost was. And physically, he was probably very intimidating. I'm sure like just what we see in the movies about the Roman soldiers. These guys were big. They were put together. They were very strong. Very intimidating. He probably wore his armor and his helmet and he carried a sword. I'm sure this man was very bold. He said that he tells his soldiers to go and they go. So obviously his men under him listen to him. They fear him. They respect him. If they step out of line, he disciplines them. But most of all, what I find amazing about this man is he completely understands the chain of command. He is told what to do and he does it. He tells his soldiers what to do and they do it. And he understood that about Jesus. And like I said earlier, the Roman Empire and the Jews, it wasn't very good between them. The Romans tolerated the Jews because they were making money off of them. But outside of that, the relationship was not good at all. And I don't really know why this Roman officer was there. It says he lives in Capernaum. I like to think that possibly he was in control of crowd. He was doing crowd control. If the crowd got out of hand, him and his men would go in and they'd start busting heads. I don't know. So I don't really know why he was near Jesus. Other than that, he wanted to ask Jesus for help. But what I do know about the Romans is they weren't Christians. They didn't believe in God. They worshipped Caesar and Baal and other false gods that they had. But this Roman, he went against that. He believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, a crime soon to be punishable by death. And this Roman officer didn't care about that. He wanted to be around Jesus to ask him for help. So I want to start over in verse 5 and tie it together. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they will do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." This is crazy. All right, just don't jump out of your seats, whatever you do. But think about this for a second. This is absolutely crazy on what just happened. So shortly before this, Jesus healed a leper. And he healed many other people before that. Hundreds, if not thousands of people saw Jesus healing. But yet there were still Jews who didn't believe he was the Messiah. The priests who the leper went to be examined, who had never seen leprosy healed before in his life, didn't even put two and two together and realize that Jesus was the Messiah. But this pagan Roman officer did. He believed in Jesus. Because take a look at what he said. He said the same thing that the leper said. He called out to Jesus and he called him Lord, signifying that he knew that he was under Jesus. Signifying that he knew who Jesus was. That Jesus had power. And it's possible that this officer saw Jesus heal people. So he knew that Jesus had power over disease. Had power to bring people back to health. This Roman officer had faith. He came to Jesus. He asked. And he believed. And what's also crazy is this Roman officer had compassion for his servant. Most Roman officers probably wouldn't even care if a servant fell sick. But this guy did. And he went to Jesus for help because he knew that Jesus could heal him. And then in verse 10, Jesus says something kind of weird, I thought. Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. This is only one of two times in the entire Bible that it says Jesus was amazed. And he was amazed at a Roman. Amazed at a Roman. The faith of that Roman officer completely amazed Jesus. And when that Roman officer came to Jesus, he didn't say, "Hey, get away from me, Roman. I don't want anything to do with you. I see what you do to my people. You hurt us. You beat us. You kill us." No. Jesus didn't push him back and say, "No, I'm not going to help you." Jesus did what he just preached about in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Love your enemies. Help them. Pray for him." And that is exactly what Jesus did. He came alongside of this Roman officer, this pagan Roman officer. And he helped him out. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 11, "And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Those words that Jesus said 2,000 years ago are just as true right now. Because there are people in this country and all over the world, so-called Christians, we're gonna use that, who have grown up in a Christian home, who have regularly attended church, but they will not spend eternity with Jesus because they didn't believe. And then there are people in third world countries, clear down in the bottom pits of jungles, who will spend eternity with Jesus because they heard the gospel and they believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. That pagan Roman officer understood that. More than likely, he had never read the Bible. He had more than likely never attended church. Not a Jewish church, anyway. But he believed that Jesus was the Christ. That he was the Savior and the healer and the Redeemer. And then Jesus goes on to say, Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believe it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. So what's our takeaway from this? What's our takeaway from the leper? If we're labeled dirty, are we supposed to go out and live in isolation away from other people so that we can't be ridiculed, so that we can't be put down anymore? What's our takeaway from the Roman officer? To help? Sure. But what about this? Imagine with me for a second. I'm kind of going to go off trail here a little bit. Let's put ourselves in their shoes. Okay? What about that leper? Maybe you're the leper. Okay? Follow me along here. Maybe you're the leper. You've done something in your past, and now you're called dirty. Now you're labeled. What do? You go off, clear off by yourself, where it's safe, where you can't be hurt anymore? Or do you fight your way through the crowd? Do you fight your way through the people who are pointing at you, covering their mouth and calling out, "Dirty, get away from me! Get back!" You fight your way through that to get to Jesus because you know that He is the healer. Because you know in your heart that He is what you need. Alright? Put yourself in the Roman officer's shoes. This guy was not a Jew. He was not raised in a Christian home. He was not raised in a Christian church. He was not raised to believe in God, the God that we believe in anyway. This guy went against everything that he knew. He went against the cultural norm. If he would have been caught, if this Roman officer would have been caught talking and worshiping Jesus, he would have been brought on trial, and just like what we saw in that video, more than likely, he would have been killed. This guy risked everything to go to Jesus and call Jesus Lord just so that his servant, his slave, could be healed. So again, put yourself in his shoes. Maybe you're going against culture right now. Maybe you're going against your upbringing right now because you know that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. You know that you need Him. And we know, as followers of Christ, and unbelievers, wherever you are today, you know from what you've heard, from what you've read, that Jesus is willing to come alongside you whenever you need Him. Even when you think you don't need Jesus, He is right there alongside you all the time, looking out, protecting, helping. So, we all know the parable of the lost sheep, right? The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Every single person in this room today has either been or is the one. We have all ran from God. I spent years running from God because I wanted to do me. We've all been there. And no matter what your age is, no matter your walk of life, no matter what you've been labeled, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, if you are the one, stop running. Stop running right now. And even if you have been in church your whole life, a believer your whole life, there's times in our walk with Christ that it's up and down. We all go through that. We all go through valleys and hills and mountains and everything else in our relationship with Christ. And if right now, if you're down in that valley and you feel like you're away from God, you know you need to get back to Him, stop running. That's all you got to do. Just like what that sheep did. Because when you stop running, Jesus will come alongside you. He will pick you up. He will allow you to rest in His arms while He carries you back to safety, carries you back to where you need to be. And that is right there in His arms. So, now, I'm taking a pretty good guess right now that each and every one of us in here is a devoted follower of Christ. And Christ's example is what we all need to live by. Like Paul was asking some questions this morning, and I was doing everything I could to keep my mouth shut because I just wanted to start preaching right then. But one of those questions is kind of, in my own words, how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to live out our faith in this world? In this fallen world? We are supposed to live out our faith just by that. By faith. Faith alone and Christ alone. And what is that supposed to look like? And how are people that aren't Christians, how are they supposed to look at us? They're supposed to know us by the love that we have for everyone else. They're supposed to know us by the way that we act around other people. By the way that we treat people. By the way we are willing to serve. Willing to shepherd. Willing to put others before ourselves. That is how people are supposed to know us. They are supposed to see Christ in us, through us, and coming out of us at all times. And the only way for that to happen is if we allow Christ to come alongside of us all the time. Let Christ work through us, live through us. Us in Him and Him in us. And we will always be alongside, living in parallel, shoulder to shoulder, next to, close together with. So let's be a church. And I'm just going to talk about this church right now. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about every single one of you. Let's be a church where people can see Christ inside of us every single day. Yeah, we're going to have bad days. We're going to cuss. We're going to sin. We're going to call somebody dirty. That's just part of it. It's part of being human. But let's forgive. Let's apologize. Let's help each other out. Let's be the example that Christ wants us to be. Let's follow Him. Let's not treat lepers the way other people do. Let's treat them the way Jesus did. And let's treat non-Christians the way that Jesus did. Let's treat them as human beings. As people who have been made in the same image that we have. As people that Christ died for. Let's love. And I know that we're all good at it. And I know that we all do it. But let's do it more. Let's do what Jesus does. Alongside. Come alongside people. Live with them. Live for them. Help them. No matter what. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the love that You have poured down onto us. God, every single day when we awake, your mercies are new. And Father, at all times you are pouring your grace down onto us. And we thank you for coming alongside of us. We thank you for your word that you have given us, that you freely let us read and study. And thank you for being that example for us to live by, for us to follow. And God, you said that you will never forsake us. You said that you will never leave us nor abandon us. You said that when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, you write our names into the book. You write our names onto the palm of your hand, and you will never let us go. And Father, thank you. Thank you for that security. Thank you for that peace that we have in you. And Lord, help each and every one of us to come alongside somebody today, tomorrow, and help and be helped. Lord, give each and every one of us an opportunity to serve, to help, to love, to put others first. Jesus Christ, I thank you. And Lord, I just lift these people up to you. I lift this church up to you, God. And Father, I'm trusting in you, and I know everyone here is, that that God, you will just continue to grow this church, to help these people, and to lead them. And Father, we know that you have a guy picked out. We don't know when, but Lord, we're trusting in you with that. Jesus Christ, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.